Hare Krishna. So we're very lucky today because we have special day, the appearance day of Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan Ki Jai. And so that's why we'll be reading from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 10, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Text 2, which deals directly with the appearance of the Lord. I was told most of you have texts on your devices. So 9, 10, 2. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the son of Maharaj Dasharatha. Purport. Lord Ramachandra and his four brothers, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms, Advaita, Machyuta, Manadi, Mananta, Rupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 339, Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Amenatishtan. The Lord is situated in many forms, such as Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha in response to the prayers by the demigods. Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan Ki Jai. So, this is the beginning of the description of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. Briefly related in here, in Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, the elaborate description is given in Ramayana. And the Lord is always coming for the same reasons. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavame yuge yuge. That whenever the devotees are in trouble, or demigods, they are also devotees, and they get in trouble, so they pray for the Lord to please appear. And of course, vinashaya cha duskritam, the demons need to be destroyed. And dharma samstapanartaya, that the dharma needs to be reestablished. So these three main reasons why the Lord is appearing. And so it is explained here that the Lord came answering the prayers by the demigods. Why? Because the whole universe suffered from the atrocities of great demon, Ravan. Ravan means one who makes everyone cry. And he was a real troublemaker, that Ravan. Not just on Earth, but he screwed up the entire universe, actually. Because he wanted his Lanka prosper at all times, but normally, as always, you have good times, you have bad times, right? Because the planets move around, and so certain constellations are very auspicious, other constellations are inauspicious. So, because Ravan, he was a Brahmana, actually, and he astrologically calculated which constellations are favorable for Lanka's prosperity, and he actually went up and he tied demigods to those positions. He stopped them from moving. So this is how powerful Ravana was. So he screwed up the entire universe. And that's why his Lanka was prospering until, you know, the Lord came and destroyed it, of course. So demigods were in real trouble. Can you imagine them being tied to whatever? I mean, we are in a lockdown in here, but at least none of us is tied, right? Demigods were tied to their fixed positions. And so, and yeah, all the demigods, they were so desperate and they were praying for the Supreme Lord to please come, because none of them could ever deal with this troublemaker, Ravan. And of course, then the Lord is coming as son of Maharaj Dasharath, and he is coming with his brothers. And they are all his expansions. The Lord never comes alone. He is always surrounded by his associates and by his energies. And of course, these are always the same persons, but they are playing different roles. And the most important personalities are Ram and Lakshman, because these are original Krishna Balaram. Actually, Balaram came as a elder brother of Krishna in the next pastime, because he got so much of a hard time being a junior brother of Ramachandra. And being in trouble, he said, no more. Next time I'm coming as elder brother, so I'll have, you know, my words will be taken very seriously. Otherwise, you know, I just had to obey everyone's command. But yeah, Lakshman is the original Balaram. Sankarshan, so Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, as Prabhupada explains, these are Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And they perform their respective functions. And of course, Lord Rama's Leela is very special, because Vaishnavas are saying that we should worship Krishna but follow in the footsteps of Lord Ramachandra, because Krishna is Lila Purushottama, he is enjoying his pastimes, but we cannot imitate doing what Krishna was doing, stealing butter and dancing with other men's wives in the dead of night, in the middle of the forest, etc. So many activities Krishna performed are not to be imitated. And yet, Lord Ramachandra, he is Maryada Purushottama. He is exhibiting perfect conduct. That he even had one wife, Ekapatni Vrata. So his life is exemplary in many, many respects, and to be followed. And that's why Rama Leela is very important for us, because it is teaching us so many important lessons. And I actually wanted devotees to share the glorifications of Lord Ramachandra. If you have a specific pastime from Ramayana which stands out for you personally, which is the greatest lesson which inspires you personally in your spiritual journey, you can share that. There are so many unlimited lessons from Lord Ramachandra's pastime. One which inspires me personally very much is what Prabhupada said. Lord Ramachandra could conquer the great kingdom of this demon Ravan, not with any regular army, but just with the army of monkeys. You know, how qualified monkeys are as warriors, that's very doubtful, right? But he did, he conquered Ravana with monkeys. Demigods could not conquer him, but by Lord Ramachandra's mercy, monkeys could do that work. And Prabhupada said, in the same way, I only have an army of monkey-like disciples. And I'm conquering the whole world with that army. Which is amazing, right? That's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was sending best of the best of his disciples to the Western world to preach Krishna consciousness, right? And he was organizing things for them. He was providing them with practically unlimited funding. Everything was given to them. They couldn't do much. And then Prabhupada came single-handedly at such an advanced age, and he just gathered, you know, real motley crew around him. And then the rest is history. That's the power of the Supreme Lord. So when the Supreme Lord is willing that something should happen, it will happen despite of any external obstacles or disadvantages. So that's really amazing how Prabhupada gave that analogy, and yeah, I think I'm very nicely fitting into that category. And so, yeah, that's most amazing thing, that despite of all our disqualifications, individual and collective, because that's the Supreme Lord's plan, that Krishna consciousness should spread all over the world, it is spreading. And yeah, sometimes, I mean, it is really amazing that anyone who knows the history of the movement and anyone who knows all the troubles the movement went through can appreciate Lord Chaitanya as all-powerful Supreme Lord, that the movement is still going from strength to strength despite of the whole. Or despite of all the obstacles. So that's my personal inspiration from Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. So anyone else wants to share your personal inspiration? Okay, Nishkinchan, Chaitanya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. No, I actually do. Is it okay if I ask a question, Maharaj?
Okay.
You know, you mentioned how Lord Ram, we know he's famous for taking this Ekapatni Vrat, you know, because other Kshatriyas at that time would have many wives and stuff. Is there any pastime behind that, why he decided to do that?
Well, that was Lord Ramachandra's mentality. He was not interested in anyone else besides Sita Devi. Because, yeah, Prabhu, you wanted to.
Harishma Maharaj, my favorite pastime is when the monkey warriors are building the bridge to Lanka, and then Vibhishan decides to come and join the side of Lord Ramachandra, and everybody is very very suspicious, very critical, like, who is this demon, why is coming on our side? So Lord Ramachandra asks opinion of Angad, he says, kill him. Sugriva, he says, no, he's a demon, you can't trust him, he's the brother. But then he asks Lord Hanumanji, and Hanumanji says, no, when I was there, he kind of protected me, and he, like, prevented me from getting killed, so I trust him. So it just says to us that how a leader has a council and how he puts his emphasis on sadhus and spiritually like-minded people, and he makes a decision accordingly. So this was a very good learning story, I guess, for me personally.
Thank you. Yes. Also, when Hanuman was in Lanka, destroying Lanka and burning so many palaces, he actually went into Bibhishan's home and looked at the window, and then he saw Bibhishan worshipping Sri Ranganath deity. And then he realized that of all the demons, this is devotee here. So, yeah, and he spared Bibhishan's palace from ruination. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I've got actually a couple of very favorite pastimes of Lord Sri Ram.
Closer.
And the first one is how in that pastime of when Vibhishan was praying to Lord Sri Ram, and he actually had written Ram, Ram, Ram all around his cottage. And one time Ravana came to visit him, and he saw Ram's name everywhere. So he chastised Vibhishan. But Vibhishan was very clever. And he said, no, this is just Ravan and Mandotri. It's just you and my sister-in-law. Yeah. So I'm just glorifying you. So Ravana was very pleased with that. And as a result, he ordered the entire kingdom to also have Ram, Ram, Ram in their cottages as well. So like that, Vibhishan was the pure devotee of Lord Sri Ram. My second favorite story is of Sri Hanuman, Lord Hanuman, and how he's the perfect servant. We know that. But yesterday I learned that actually he was also a very nice guru to Sugriva, a spiritual master, because he was often always guiding Sugriva to do the right thing by Lord Sri Ram.
Thank you. Antaranga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So there's very, very nice pastime when the sages, they've been discussing very strongly what is more powerful, Ram as a person or Ram as a name, or Rupa or Nama. So, but they wanted to put it in a test and they didn't know how. So they come to a conclusion that Hanuman should do this, to do this experiment, and how to do this. So Hanuman offended on purpose the spiritual master of Ramachandra, and the spiritual master of, remind me the name, was it Vishwamitra? Vishwamitra. He offended Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra ordered Ramachandra to execute Hanuman, to like kill him, to shoot an arrow. So Hanuman, he sit down and he start reciting the names of Lord Ramachandra. He just went to full meditation, samadhi, and he was just constantly meditating on the name of Ram. So when Ram shoot an arrow, he missed. So the conclusion was that the name of Lord Ramachandra is even more powerful than the person, than the Rupa. Obviously, we know through Siddhanta that there's no difference between Nama and Rupa. But by us reciting the names of Lord Ramachandra, we actually have direct association of Lord Ramachandra. So this is a very nice pastime.
Thank you. And here it's very nice when you chant Hare Krishna in front of the deities. when you chant the first part of Maha Mantra, you can meditate on Radha Gokulananda. Second part, you can meditate on Sitaram. All right. Anyone else? Gopinath Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, I was thinking of the example we can take from his brother Bharat, that when he was exiled to the forest, he asked his brother to take his place. And we can all learn from that, that he was a perfect example of actually eventually accepting the responsibilities, but never accepting the position, never thinking himself in charge. So very nice example that obviously he put Ramachandra's shoes, understanding that Ramachandra was actually always leading the kingdom. And we can understand that no matter what responsibilities we are asked to take, even if it's a great position, we always understand that the Lord is actually the one doing everything and we're just there to facilitate.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Nishkinchan and Sutta Prabhu.
Yeah, now that I'm reflecting more, one point that really comes out nicely is Jatayu's pastime of how he, selflessly went out of his way. He's not related to Lord Ram. He didn't have any kind of like connection except that he was a friend of Lord Ram's father, Maharaj Dasarath. And just out of honor and duty, he, even though he didn't have to defend, didn't have to fight Ravana, but he went above and beyond his call of duty. All he had to do was call out, but he went out of his way to obviously defend and gave his life for that. And then it's said that even though he did not succeed in defeating Ravana, but because he did this service out of love, he got the same benedictions as he would have if he had actually succeeded in it. So it's said that when you do something with the Lord, whether you succeed or not, but if you do it with the right intention, you will get the same result on an internal level, regardless of what the material result was as well. So
yeah,
I thought it was really sweet.
So. Yeah, perfect. Illustration of Bhagavad Gita principle. What does it say? Samekritva jaya. What's that? Anyway, fight. But sukhe dukhe samekritva. That fight for the sake of fighting without considering victory or defeat, fame or infamy, and in this way you will always remain in transcendental position.
Thank you, Maharaj. Sometimes I just find the small details about Ram like amazing. Like if you actually deeply think about it, like this concept that Ram was sending out people like to find out what people were saying about him, or he himself was going around incognito to understand what people were saying so that he could improve. So like I think if you deeply think about that, like which one of us would do that in our life? Like even when devotees come to us and give us feedback, we're like, we've got 100 defense measures, you know? And for someone so qualified, so exemplary, so exalted, so respected, so spotless in every respect to go out and do that, I think it just is like, it's mind-blowing. And then also you hear like, Ram would sometimes be spotted in the forest just sitting with the sages and listening and hearing from them, just like some unknown person. That's also like amazing as well, like someone so powerful just humbly sitting in the forest with the sages listening and trying to understand from them. So I think just Ram's complete integrity and purity of character and self-reflectiveness is amazing.
Thank you. Interestingly enough, this pastime is also described in Bhagavatam in quite details, how Lord Ramachandra was going out listening to people's feedback on him. And yes, feedback is really important because truthfulness is the last leg of religion. And so, yeah, I think it's really important lesson for all of us. to learn from Lord Ramachandra, to be interested to hear the feedback on our performance from everybody. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopalananda Shri Shri Gaurinitaya Ki Jai.
I think in a similar vein to that, it was amazing to me how when he was exiled, the only reason he got upset was because of the pain it would cause others when they wouldn't be able to see him. But when he got told, he had no feeling for himself. I have to leave.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, he was actually happy to go to the forest, right? Get out of the boring palace. Have a picnic. Yes, Robert.
Hare Krishna. I heard a few stories from Shubhavilas, Prabhu speaking of Ramayana, and it's really going deep into it. Actually, there was like a really interesting story about the difference between Jatayu and Marichi, because Marichi was asked by Ravana to do these things for him, and he was thinking like it's better maybe to die on from Ramachandra's hand than from Ravana's. But in the end, actually, what happens is that he was showing his allegiance to Ravana all the time. Even when he was shot, he was still yelling with the voice of Ramachandra, showing that actually his allegiance to Ravana. And when he died, Ravana just left him there, and no less obeisances or nothing, you know, for him. And Jatayu, he was fighting on the of Ramachandra, and he got all the blessings afterwards. So it was like an interesting point, like these two characters.
Yeah, that's really funny pastimes, that Marichi decided to die of Lord Ramachandra's hands rather than Ravan's hands, because he knew if I die from Lord Ramachandra, at least I go to the spiritual world. If I die from Ravan's hands, I'll just go to hell. So yeah, best deal out of the bad bargain. Good, thank you. Nishkinchan Chaitanya Prabhu again.
And just one other theme that really also comes out from Ramayana, Lord Ram, and also the other personalities, is the sense of dharma that they followed. Like two instances. One is Vishwamitra Muni and Vasishtha Muni. You know, they had this big conflict within them. And Vasishtha Muni actually initially using his brahminical powers, destroyed Vishwamitra Muni's forces to protect his cow, not for himself though. And then obviously, you know, Vishwamitra Muni then decided to take revenge on Vasishtha Muni personally. But because he's a brahmana, he decided, I'm not going to defend myself. So he took all the punishment that Vasishtha Muni took all the punishment that Vishwamitra Muni gave to him, even though he could have easily destroyed him, but he didn't. So it just reflected the sense of dharma that even though you could easily make your situation more comfortable using whatever power you have, but the sake of a principle, you decided not to, for a higher, you know, example that he's trying to set, that I maintain my behavior no matter what the situation is. And then even the Lord Ram, like, he knew that Sita was innocent, but, you know, he had to put the interest of the kingdom first, you know, after the whole, you know, when Sita's reputation was being put in doubt. And then he had to basically put himself through the pain just for the sake of, the kingdom's reputation, his own reputation. So, it's quite awe-inspiring. Obviously, I don't know how many people in this day and age could, you know, enact that level of dharma, but, you know, I just thought that was quite striking. So.
Yeah, thank you. Prabhu?
One other thing which comes to mind, we read in the Bhagavad Gita that mind is like a tool. You can either upgrade yourself using the mind or degrade yourself with spiritual intelligence. So in Ramayana also, it's a very amazing point which I came across by Shubhavilas Prabhu's book. So it says that Sugriva is a representation of mind, because Sugriva, he is not bad or good. He is kind of a neutral person. Based on what kind of association he gets, he kind of drifts to that direction. Like if he's with people who are in the sense enjoyment platform, he will drift towards that direction. Or if he's with Hanuman or some other saintly person, he will be more saintly. And Vali, the brother, he is more like the false ego. He's just too much. Like he's in a stage where he can't be taken back or can't be purified. So Lord Ramchandra, representing the pure consciousness, he chooses the mind instead of the false ego to kind of upgrade, because mind is like a tool, but false ego is just too much. It's beyond change. So even though Vali, he was so strong, and he could have actually single-handedly go and went with Ravana and tried to take over the kingdom, but he rather chose Sugriva as his alliance rather than choosing Vali, because Sugriva was, he knew that Sugriva, he admits that he has difficulties or he has his impurities, but he's willing to change and he's willing to improve and get inspired. So I guess it's a very good analogy of how, as we learn from the Bhagavad Gita about the chariot principle, the mind, and something interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Ladies.
I often think about Lakshman and how much the unconditional love and the service attitude that he has. And it said that even when Sita and Lord Ram were walking in the forest, he would be sweeping the thorns and making sure the path was clear. And so much that he did for them. And it seemed that Lakshman really never thought about himself. He was just only thinking about the welfare and the pleasure of Lord Ram and Sita.
Selfless service. Yes. It says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Lord Balaram is Supreme Servitor of Godhead. So, yeah. And Lakshman shows that example. Actually never sleeping one night, right? All the way when he was with Lord Ramachandra in the forest. I mean, if we don't sleep one night, that's going to be a disaster. He never slept one second, right? Well, on duty. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Tarun Prabhu.
It's interesting. Detail Prabhupada said in Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Rama can give you up to moksha, but he'll never give you love of God. So that's interesting details. Teaches you dharma, gives you moksha, but not love of God. I myself never read Ramayana, but just have no attraction to this at all. I don't know why, it's wrong probably. But this detail is very interesting, what Prabhupada says.
Why Lord Ramachandra never gave love of Godhead?
You can get only up to moksha by worshipping Ram, but not love of God.
Well, love of God is a specific gift of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it is very confidential. And it only exists between the Supreme Lord and His pure devotees. And to enjoy that, one has to be on the level. And it's like if someone wants high salary. One has to do the job. And to do the job, one has to be qualified. So these three things are kind of interlinked, right? You cannot say, okay, give me the salary. I don't want to do the job and I'm not qualified, but I want a salary. So that doesn't work. But the Lord is enjoying that personally, but it's not given to anyone who is unqualified. So now, in Kali Yuga, people are so degraded that they actually have zero chances for any spiritual advancement. So what the Lord decides that he's giving them, you know, it's kind of a very tricky sales technique. You know, when you're given a product to use for a little while, and the product is really nice, right? And then you used it for free, and then you run out of this product, and you start really hankering for it. And then they tell you, okay, now you have to pay. Right? I think nowadays in Kali Yuga this technique is used often with many, many things, whether it is some programs or whatever, or products. And so Lord Chaitanya is using that technique that first he gives people taste of love of God, and when everyone enjoys it, and he gives it freely. Okay, you just start chanting Hare Krishna, you'll have the glimpse into what love of God it is. This is where the initial inspiration comes from. You know, anyone who starts practicing Krishna consciousness, he has that glimpse. Okay, that's amazing what Krishna consciousness is. But then it kind of fades out, and then we get the message, okay, now we have to become qualified. Get initiated, get second initiated, become serious about our spiritual practices, this and that. And so, yeah, we have to work with it. We have to purify our heart, which is a very difficult business, but now we know at least what we can get if we become qualified. And so, yes, this is something which was never available before. But somehow Lord Chaitanya, he created this very unique sales technique for Kali Yuga, which is catching so many living entities quite successfully. So many people become interested. Yeah, is it answering your question? Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, but Lord Ramachandra is a perfect example of devotional contact. Actually, even though he is the Supreme Lord, he is always does whatever he does just for service, just for benefiting everyone. And so that's a perfect mentality as well, for us to follow in his footsteps, because he is only thinking of service but nothing else, even though he is the Supreme Lord.
Just wondering, in a way of from Shraddha to Prem, as we are supposed to go in our line, what's the role of Lord Ramachandra there in that sense? I don't understand what I'm trying to. We have to go from Shraddha to Prema. That means the highest.
Yes.
He's given only Valo Chaitanya. And then now Lord Ramachandra cannot give you that. And what is the role of Lord Ramachandra, for example, for us in that path?
That's an interesting question. What's the Lord Ramachandra's role from Shraddha to Prema if he is not giving us love of God? What is he giving us? Well, the specific role of Lord Ramachandra, which is highlighted by all the acharyas, is maryada, that perfect conduct, perfect behavior, perfect attitude. And I mean, I can speculate that it's something on the level of nishtha, so that if we meditate on Lord Ramachandra and pray for him, then we can develop resolute determination in our service, because yeah, this is the brightest example of Lord Chaitanya. Very fixed determination, and determination is very important in our spiritual practices, as we know from Bhagavad Gita 2.41, Yavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana. So, if anyone has any other thoughts on this subject, welcome to share. But this looks like this is what...
Let's say if somebody develops love for Lord Ram, so we cannot say it's just a moksha.
Like, of course, people. Not just moksha.
So there's like there's many subtleties to that. Yeah. Oh, from that, I'm sure probably it's non-canto, but I have written in my notebook somewhere else that this Prabhupada's called. You mean this that he can give you on a moksha? Yeah, it's. I can show you later on. It's, I don't know exactly. Maybe it's non-canto. Probably is non-canto somewhere purport.
Sutta Pabru. Yeah, if someone can pass the microphone.
I mean, we'd have to see the exact quote, but maybe there's also, we hear about in the Shastra about love which is weakened by Aishvarya and by a sense of awe and reverence and all of that. So I've never come across anything like that, where it's saying like you can't get love from, but it may be a certain type of love which is not, you know, what Mahaprabhu gives is, you know, prema, which is completely madhurya, you know, free of all conceptions of awe and reverence in that sense. So, because Ram is having so much loving relationship with all his associates, so that's my understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, all the pastimes of the Lord with his devotees are full of love. But these loving relationships can only become accessible by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya for all of us in Kali Yuga. Because otherwise, yeah, Kali Yuga people, they don't even like consider the Supreme Lord, they don't even take him seriously. That mundane scholars, they study Ramayana to prove to everyone that Lord Chaitanya is not the Supreme Lord. That he is just a historical figure. And that's their first thing, to prove everyone that he is not God. And then, but the ultimate goal is to prove that he didn't exist at all. I mean, why they study someone who never existed in their mind, it's hard to say, but yeah. It's like this is, huh? You found the quote? Yes. Madhya Lila? Okay.
Hare Krishna. He said, Lord Rama gives an opportunity to be liberated. But just, I have to scroll, sorry. But just by liberation, one doesn't get actual spiritual benefit. Sometimes, if one is liberated but doesn't have the shelter of Krishna, one falls down again. And so forth. Maybe probably more to that in the interim. But I mean, it gives you moksha, you can fall down from that. only Krishna gives you love of God. So that's it.
So Madhya Lila chapter 3 and text?
257. Antya Lila, sorry. Antya Lila 3257.
Antya Lila 3 and 257.
257, yeah. 3.257. Third chapter and verse 257.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
The quote that you just read, Prabhu, though,
it
doesn't make it clear, though, that you can't get love of God through that, though, if I may say so. I don't think it's very specific that you can't get love of God. Because I'm also thinking of Murari Gupta, right, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Mahaprabhu told him that you should continue to just worship Lord Ram, because obviously he's the incarnation of Hanuman. So if Mahaprabhu himself is giving love of God and that's his objective for everyone here, is telling Murari Gupta to worship Lord Ram, that means for him to worship Lord Ram would be the objective that Mahaprabhu had come to give. You know, so yeah. I don't know. I find that quote a bit unclear. It doesn't seem like it's exactly saying that you can't get a love of God through that. So... Yeah, if you don't get shelter of Krishna, but that's not saying that by worshipping Lord Ram, you won't get that shelter of Krishna, or you won't get love of God. It's not saying that, though, in that quote.
I think also I think Radha Govindapur was making this point yesterday, when we say moksha can also mean different things. So moksha can also mean the spiritual world, but it just means you can't enter Golok Vrindavan. To enter Golok Vrindavan, then you need Krishna's shelter. So it doesn't mean you can't have love in the spiritual world.
Yeah, the text here says that the holy name of Lord Ram certainly gives liberation. So this is minimum level, but it doesn't mean that it cannot give anything else. It just focuses on minimal benefit.
Yeah, it's eternal realm, so maybe it's not pure, it's all in reverence a lot there, but that's a destination for those who have that love for Lord Ram, I guess. In that sense, this is variations, that's all.
Yeah.
You know.
And plus, these devotees, they discuss these pastimes in ecstasy of loving Krishna, and so they comparatively, you know, Krishna's abode and Krishna's love is higher than everything else. And so only in that context they are saying that Lord Ramachandra's names can give liberation. Yes?
Also, actually, if you look at Canto 9, Chapter 10, Verse 51 from the Bhagavatam, so in the purport, last five lines, Srila Prabhupada is saying, if he chants the Hare Krishna mantra of devotion and faith, he'll certainly be freed from all sinful activities and his life will be successful. Param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the blessing of Lord Ramachandra. So Prabhupada is saying, this is the blessing of Lord Ramachandra. And then he goes on to say, who has appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Gaurasunda.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Lord Ramachandra is a way for us to also gain love of Godhead, and just to make it easier for us, then he also then appears as Gaurasundar. So, and Prabhupada also, there's a few other purports here in this stream of verses where Prabhupada is mentioning actually that Lord Ramachandra is kingdom. We're trying to replicate here now through the Hare Krishna movement, which gives us the best opportunity to get love of Godhead. If you look at the chapter 10 from verses 45 onwards. Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, we are taking a little longer because there is no breakfast anyway. So I hope no one's hankering for that. That will only happen in the evening, right? because today is fasting until moonrise. Oh, noon. Oh, Lord Ramachandra is very merciful. Only a few more hours, then you can have your breakfast. All right. So, anyone else wants to share anything? So, Abhishek will be pretty soon then, right? 11 o'clock in here. Okay. Kirtan and Abhishek at 11 o'clock, so...
Sorry, yeah. Just a reference. That was, you know, the, what I mentioned now about the, you know, creating a similar situation to give love of God by Ramachandra's reign. It's verse 53 purport. That also mentions that. Yeah.
Grantara Chimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Ram Naomi Vijayotsava Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.